This is a WESA special. I'm Sarah Schneider. Libraries provide an expanding list of services, from tech to traditional materials, as well as an engaged staff. But finding stable funding has been a challenge. WESA's Lucy Perkins takes a look at why the money doesn't always keep up with costs and how some libraries are trying to find consistent funding streams.
When Andrew Carnegie funded the creation of libraries across the U.S., he did so on the basis of a financial promise. He'd build the library, but only if the community pledged to support it financially. Over 100 years later, every library is funded differently. However, they generally all draw from the same buckets of money: state funding, local dollars, and donations. And if you look at two of those sources, state and local dollars, you can learn a lot about why libraries are struggling today.
The challenge has been that the funding stream then is not always very stable and fluctuates.
Christy Bucher is the executive director of the Pennsylvania Library Association. She says the stability of funding was shaken when the recession hit over a decade ago. State funding dropped by about a third, from $75 million to around $54 million in state aid annually.
Huge. It's more than $20 million difference. You know, everybody got cuts across the state when the recession hit, understandable, and libraries started having to make cuts in services.
Some of the biggest expenses are employees and materials. Libraries cut hours, held off on maintenance, avoided buying new bestsellers, and eventually laid off staff in order to keep doors open.
And they've stretched every penny as far as they possibly can. And some communities are just beginning to recover from that, and others are still hurting.
She estimates most libraries get between 16 and 21% of funding from the state. And it took years for libraries to see any increase in state funding, which forced some libraries to get creative with how they bring in local dollars. Pittsburgh is a good example of that. In 2009, Patrick Dowd was a member of Pittsburgh's City Council.
At the time, the library was having significant financial issues. They're not like, you know, an amusement park or a zoo or something else where they can charge people who walk in the door. The sign above the door says, "Free to the people."
Dowd got a call from the director of the library saying they were going to have to close 4 of its 19 branches. It was just after the recession hit, and library revenue was stagnant. The library's major source of revenue is the Regional Asset District, or RAD, which distributes funds collected through a countywide 1% sales tax.
The RAD was doing all it could. The state was contributing revenue and doing as much as it could, but that was not sufficient to maintain the operations as they were at that time.
Dowd suggested that they put a referendum on the ballot to generate a new sustainable source of cash. The proposal would create a special library tax by dedicating a quarter mil of real estate tax, or $25 on $100,000 of assessed property value. And in 2011, the proposal passed overwhelmingly.
It's been a healthy change financially for the library.
As property taxes rise, so has the revenue for the library. It'll bring in $4.2 million this year. But still, Dowd, who's now the chair of the board for the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh, says they have to be vigilant and constantly monitor the system's finances.
There's always an instability issue, right? There are changes on the horizon. All sorts of things happen. So no, I wouldn't say that it's stable.
But Carnegie libraries are in better shape than they used to be. This year, other libraries across Pennsylvania saw the first funding increase in the state budget in over a decade, though it's still well below what it was before the recession. That slow increase in funding holds true across the country, according to Meredith Schwartz. She's the executive editor of the trade publication Library Journal.
Relative to where we'd want to be, we've lost ground. But as far as catching back up to those losses, so far, on the whole, across the country, I think libraries are doing okay.
But she says that could change if the country enters another recession. Pennsylvania, funding sources are different from library to library. Some cite financial troubles as a reason for closing their doors. A small independent library north of Pittsburgh closed in May. WESA's Sarah Schneider visited Leechburg, Armstrong County, population 2,000, to find out how the community rallied to reopen the space.
In late May, a sign was taped to the door of the 93-year-old Leechburg Public Library. Bold black print notified the community that the independent library would close permanently that night. Karen Ferlino, like many, found out through Facebook. The lifelong Leechburg resident says she was dumbfounded.
And it was like a fire was lit under me.
At 70 years old, Ferlino has a long history with the library. She remembers taking her children with her as she browsed the nonfiction section decades ago.
And I thought back to all the librarians here that I loved and the years of their lives they gave to this library. And I just wanted that tradition to stay alive, realizing that we can't stick to the old ways. We have to change with changing times.
Soon after it closed, she organized a Save the Library meeting at the fire hall, kicking off a summer-long effort to reopen the library.
There were about 50 people, which may not sound like a lot, but in a small town, that is a lot. And we got people who were willing to volunteer and to help.
Ferlino and other volunteers then met with former board members, who told them the decision wasn't made because the library didn't have money. It closed because it wasn't being used. Doreen Smeal was on the board at that time and says the library was often empty, with maybe 8 visitors a week.
Now, we had children coming in here because this is a computer area, and they would come in here. But honestly, from what the librarian said, it really wasn't for studying homework. They were more playing games and doing things. So she felt she was being more of a babysitter, I think.
Part of the challenge is that the library is housed in the local high school. There is a separate entrance, but for security reasons, the library is only open during weekday evenings, which contributes to the low foot traffic. So when the former librarian told the board she was leaving for personal reasons, members decided it wasn't worth it to search for a replacement. Ferlino, who is now the president of the library's board, says in a lot of ways, a public library represents the vitality of the community.
It's a small community that has, over the years, gotten smaller.
At one point, more people worked in the local steel mill than now live in the town.
I think we've gone into a period where that employment situation is not available anymore, and we're still trying to thrive and keep the town going as with some of the same values it always had and some of the same institutions it has always had.
Many are concerned about the future of younger residents. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, about 39% of Leechburg families with children live below the federal poverty level. Older residents say breaking that cycle and retaining young families relies on public resources. Library board member Ron Walco told a group of residents gathered at the library this summer that if they wanted the space to be relevant, there must be a shift in thinking. The library has to evolve.
You know, because the younger generation's coming up, and we need to find the balance between the older generation that loves the books and the new generation that's used to, you know.
He mimics typing on a smartphone. A lot of the mostly older attendees nod in agreement. They say they have to figure out what young people want from the library. Many were skeptical that kids would be interested in a book club, for example. These are the types of conversations volunteers had this summer as they sorted through almost 3,000 books, cleaned them, and put them back on the shelves. The board hired a part-time library clerk. She's young and, as Ferlino says, tech savvy. Together, they're developing youth and adult programming and ramping up communication through social media. They're planning fundraisers and eventually want the library to move into its own building. This month, the library reopened, quietly. 11-year-old Brooklyn Redmond was the first patron. She sat at a round table cluttered with textbooks working on long division. She says she came to the library because she has a brother at home who she describes as loud.
At my house, there's no quiet. It's just always TV or yelling. So when I come here, it's just peace and quiet. I can get it done faster.
Brooklyn is exactly who the volunteers say they are doing this work for. Whether it's a quiet space to do homework or a meeting place for seniors, the library wants to be a resource for the entire community. One of the ways libraries try to stay relevant and useful is to keep up with younger users. Coming up, how other libraries are meeting teens where they're comfortable.